Psalms 61. Now, as you know, I went out 2 weeks ago to seek the Lord and direction for the next book that I'll be teaching and vision for the church, and which is, I love it. I get excited about it, and I can't wait. The day, come on, day, I want to get out there. And as you know, that Monday, the 14th, it rained. And when I left here, it was raining. When I got into the mountains up there by Julian, Pastor Julian up there, it was raining super hard. And then when I started coming down to Imperial Valley, the rain let up, and it was just drizzling. So that was exciting. And so I got down Imperial Valley, came to Borrego, ends of Borrego, and got off on Highway 101, Imperial Highway. And I started going out to the desert, going to my spot to Agua Caliente is where I go and seek the Lord. And it was just drizzling. And so I say, Lord, please hold back the rain. So when I get there, I can set up the mortar home and everything. And so I got there, and praise God, I got out and set up the mortar home. The minute I got in, it started pouring like crazy. Started pouring cactus. And I was just thanking God. Thank you, Jesus. I said, this is going to be a great time. It's going to be great. And good news, I did not lock myself out. Isn't that great? But, there's always that word, but. You know, when someone says, but, you know, you're like, okay, what, you know? And around, I would say, between 8 and 9 o'clock at night, I'm sitting there and doing a devotion. All of a sudden, I heard this big bang, like a firecracker in the mortar home. It just freaked me out. I was like, jumped up, and I was like, I thought the rapture came. But a different rapture, because it's supposed to be a trumpet, not a firecracker. And so I got up and I started investigating. I'm walking. I opened the bathroom door, and the bathroom of the motorhome, the floor was being flooded with water. And so I'm like, no! And I ran outside, and it's pouring rain. I got outside, went to the back where the water hose is connected to the spigot. And I looked at the motorhome, and it looked like a waterfall just gushing from underneath. And so I turned the water off. It stopped. I'm like, okay, no, I'm not going to be defeated here, Lord. I still got the water tank of the motorhome, and I can just use that, and no problem. So I go in there, and I'm like, okay, now I can already know the enemy's messing with me. I recognize this is really spiritual warfare. And so I'm not going to let it affect me, because I'm here for a reason. I know God's going to do something. And so I had to use the restroom. I got up. I turned the water pump on. I opened the door. The water's just gushing out on the floor. And so I had to turn the water. So I had no water. I couldn't use the restroom. Couldn't take a shower. Couldn't wash dishes or cook with water. Had nothing. And so right away, I felt defeated. That night, I felt like I just might as well leave. You know, I felt defeated. I felt like, you know, what am I going to do? I got no water and everything. And I'm far from the bathroom. It's pouring rain. It's going to rain here till Friday. It's raining like crazy. And I got to use the bathroom at least 2 or 3 times in the middle of the night, you know. And I got to go out there, and a mountain lion might get me, or, you know, I might step on a scorpion or something. I don't know. A snake? I don't know. Bigfoot? I don't know. But in the morning, I said, okay, Lord, you know, I'm just going to go to bed. And I'm going to go to the ranger. I'm going to see if I can change my spot. And so I did. I went to the ranger, and I told him my dilemma. And I said, could I move my spot and move right across from where the bathrooms and the showers are? And they said, yeah, no problem. So I went. I did move in. So it was great. That was good. And so I set up, and it's like, oh, this is not bad. You know, there's not hardly no one out there. And so this was good. But it just, the thought of what happened and the cost and think, okay, I don't even know what happened. In order to know what happened, to get underneath it and look, and I couldn't do that because it was raining, and I don't know what it is, whether it's a pipe, the water pipe, a hose, I don't know. I still don't know today, but I'm going to work on it to find out. And what's the cost? So this is what I was up against. The enemy kept throwing this at me and throwing it. I kept seeking the Lord. Lord, please, I want to be out here. I want to pray. I want you to speak to me. I want I want to be surrender everything all unto you. And every time I would fall on my knees before the Lord, the thought of just enemy kept bringing this up. So it was a spiritual battle. But the Lord kept saying, speaking to me, saying, Luke, 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 you know, get back to Jesus. Get back to Jesus. Get back to what Jesus said, what he promised and what he did. And I didn't even get that quality time of getting in the Word because of the warfare I was going through. And it went so fast. But I just, Luke, Luke, Luke. And I opened it up, and my Bible, and I was reading. And then Thursday came, and finally I said, okay, this is enough. I'm going to leave. And so I left a day early and got home and came to church. And so the Lord was showing me to get back to Jesus, you know, because I don't want to get past Jesus. I don't want to get beyond Jesus. I want to make sure that it's about Jesus. And you know, I want to go through book. So I was thinking about going through Corinthians, which then, but I think what we're going to do is we're going to go through the book of Luke, and then from Luke we're going to go into Corinthians and then move on to Galatians and so on. But I don't want to, I want to stay with Jesus. And so I was studying, preparing for the book of Luke, but I was really I've been going through a lot of spiritual warfare. And I know why, guys, is all of us, because of China. We leave in two months. And so I've been going through some heavy-duty spiritual warfare. And so I was reading Luke and everything, and I just couldn't get my thoughts together and everything. And then God, oh, he's so faithful. He, for some reason, I heard the song, Hear My Cries, O Lord. And so I started singing that song. And then I went to where that song was written in Psalms chapter 61. I started reading that, and God says, this is for you. This is for you. And when I started reading that, oh, man, it was like God was trying to remind me, okay, who's in control here? It's not you. It's not your agenda. It's God's agenda. And so I want to encourage you with Psalm 61. I want to look at this because a lot of us are going through a lot of warfare. We're going through a lot of circumstances. And we got to remember, it ain't nothing new under the sun. David went through this. In fact, when he wrote the book of Psalms, this book of Psalms is written about life, circumstances, and experiences that he was going through in his life. And not all of them were great. And he ended up writing a Psalms about it. So we're going to go through the book of Psalms, and I want to encourage you as I was encouraged. And then from there, we will be going, so you will know, we're going to be going through the book of Luke. And we're going to get back to Jesus. Amen? All right, so Psalms chapter 1. Let's look at it. Verse 1. I mean, Psalm 61, verse 1. Excuse me. See, like warfare. Carmen says, yeah, I think I'm going to have to end up, God has me not working because I'm going to end up taking care of you now. Yes, I think so. Yeah, I don't mind. Verse 1, David says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. And I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings, Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. And you will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations, and he shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So I will sing praises to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Now, when Psalm 61 was written by King David, in fact, again, the Psalms, they were written around his life, around the events that took place in his life. And it reminded me of what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where he says that we are created in Christ Jesus, that we are his workmanship, and we are created unto good works. When David wrote the book of Psalms, what he wrote was he was expressing his life. He was pouring out his heart to God in whatever event or whatever he was going through. He was pouring out unto the Lord. And we, in the same manner, we are his workmanship. It means the word workmanship means poema. That means you are God's poem. Isn't that amazing? You're God's poema. And God wants to express himself through us. And the purpose of expressing himself through us is so that we can be a written epistle read and known among all men. And so your life is a poem of, supposed to be a poem of God. It's supposed to be God's expression, God speaking through us so people can read this poem and they get to know God. And so this is what David did. Now, Psalm 61, it took place around the time when David was this mighty warrior, guys. He was a mighty warrior. But more so, David was a great prayer warrior, right? He was a prayer warrior. And if anybody knew how to pray, it was definitely David. But also, David was a man who loved to worship the Lord. And in Psalms, here in Psalm 61, it was written in the time of his life when he was actually fleeing from his son Absalom. And if you remember that story, if you have read it, it's found in 2 Samuel chapter 15, where his son, they had a daughter, Tamar, and his brother, and his brother ended up raping his sister, and so his Absalom ended up killing him, and so he fled from David and fled to another city, and he was there for years, and then finally David was counseled to bring him back. So they brought him back, and he stayed in Jerusalem, but he did not see David's face. They would not come together. And so his son, actually through this insurrection, and where he set himself up as king. And so when he did this, he started gaining the favor of all the men of Israel, and he started, when they were coming to David, he kind of stepped in their way, and he had them coming to him, and he found favor in all the men of Israel. And so at this point, David had to flee Jerusalem because of his son who set him up as king. He just said, hey, I'm not waiting, I'm going to be king. And so when this was happening, he left Jerusalem in fear, and those who were faithful with David, they left Jerusalem and so to avoid being killed. And so at this point, this is when he wrote Psalm 61. So when you think about it, you know, we cannot be exempt from the demands that the lives we live out every day, right? You're not exempt from that goes on throughout our lives. I'm talking about we're up against life's pressures. We're up against some great demands. For example, I'm going to give you an example of this. Do you have any children or teenagers here? Any teenagers? Okay, just one? Okay. I want to share the demands and the pressures that children and teenagers are up against. Now think about this. Our children, our teenagers, they face the pressures of having to learn in school, right? Completing homework, having to pass tests, and having to move forward into society, preparing their lives, and the challenges of obeying parents and other authorities. Now, my kids went to private school. They went to Horizon. And Stevie, he was in eighth grade. He would come home with homework that I thought was just ridiculous because he did homework from the time he came home all the way to the time he went to bed. It was frustrating. It was hard, and it was difficult. And I remember we were talking to the teachers that you're giving too much homework. We can't do this. It's just stressful. There's a lot of demands. And so and that's what we were up against. So they're up against these things. Now, do we have any young adults here? Any young adults? Okay, we got a few young adults. Listen, the young adults, they have to face the pressure of planning for employment, right? The pressures of having to support themselves. Then comes the pressure of finding a spouse and building up a life of their own, building their own testimony, and making their own way in the world. So this is what a young adult is up against. These are the demands and the pressures in their lives. Now, how many parents do we have here this morning? Pretty much a lot of us, right? Okay, well, parents, You have to deal with the demands of working to provide for your family, especially men, right? The responsibility of training your children up in the ways of the Lord, and we have to be involved in their activities, meeting the needs of your spouse, right? Husband's got to meet the needs of the wives, and the wives have to meet the needs of the husband. Wives, you got to maintain the home environment, making sure that it's enjoyable, because that's what the Proverbs 31 woman says, that her home is enjoyable, where the husband just can't wait. He loves to come home. He loves to be at home. And so these are the demands that you're up against. And then there comes a day when we as parents have to take care of our parents. And there's this responsibility of being involved in civic and community affairs, of being committed and faithful to the church that we attend and serving in the responsibilities. So this is what we are up against, and it is a lot more. Now, how many seniors do we have here? Okay. Probably most of everybody here, right? But we are young in heart. Okay. Now, seniors, listen. This is a hard one, because you have to and you must endure the challenges of this declining health, right? It's one of our biggest pet peeves is our health. I wake up in the morning and I have sharp pains, and I don't even know where that's coming from. I really believe someone's got a voodoo doll of me and they're sticking me with a pin. That's what it feels like. Whoa, they're sticking a pin in my leg or something. But these are the challenges of our declined health, the frustrations of physical limitations. That's why I had to give up my truck, because I realized I can no longer maintain it. I can no longer get out of it. I would get out of it, and man, my knees and my legs will hurt. I hurt my leg just not even jumping out of the back, but stepping out of it. And so there's that frustration of this physical limitations that we have. Or how about the decline of your monthly income? When you get older, it seems like you retire, you get less. The inability to care for yourselves. Sometimes that's going to come. That's going to come for all of us, where you're going to have that inability to care for yourselves. The loss of independence. You know, right now I just enjoy being with my children, and when I'm around them, I feel like in the areas that I can't do, or they're there for me, and they're able to pick up that slack. Especially when it comes to picking something or cleaning or doing something. Sometimes, man, I just can't do it. And so they're there for me. And that's a hardship, or the loss of independence. Or how about, and this is the hard one, and I don't want to offend anybody, but it's reality, and that's the hardship of losing a spouse. That loneliness, you know, and the load of other circumstances that the senior citizen is up against. But, you know, these are all demands that play out every day in our lives as we go through them, or if we're going through them right now. And sometimes the pressures of life are so strong that we feel, or we even collapse from the weight of them. The feeling of being overwhelmed and helpless. See, this is what David was up against. And whenever you are up against this, the God of our salvation, the loving Lord, he gave us Psalms 61 for such a time as these. When we go through these things, there's Psalm 61. And David wrote this psalm because he was under this extreme hardship. He was under stress. And whatever pressures that David was going through, he knew that he could not tackle them on his own, in his own strength. He had this deep longing for the Lord to deliver him and not to be overcome by his circumstances. And so he says this in verse 1. Look at verse 1. He says, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayers. And from the ends of the earth I will cry to you. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Wow, I love it. It's beautiful, beautiful Psalms. And when David felt he could no longer bear the pressures of life, what did he do? He cried out to God for help. And it's interesting because he desperately cried out to God's and for the purpose of getting God's attention. It's like when you want to get somebody's attention. You know, my kids, when they want to get Carmen's attention, sometimes they'll say, "Mom, Mom, Mom," and she won't answer. Then they'll say, "Carmen." And the minute she hears Carmen, she says, "Don't call me Carmen. But they got her attention. When we cry out to God, David was crying out. When he said, wrote this song, he was crying out to God for the purpose of getting God's attention. And he was crying out in such a way that he was actually begging the Lord to listen to his cries. Begging him. And let me remind you guys that, you know what? David was considered by the Lord himself a man after God's own heart. He was a man who was seen as a man of great faith. When he was a teenager member, he killed lions and tigers and bears, oh my. See, that's where that came from. He took care of his father's sheep as a teenager, not as a man, but as a teenager. And then, as a young man, he took out a big giant, over a 9-foot giant, and he took his head literally. And he took on 300 Philistines, and he led many troops into battle. So David wasn't a pushover. But in the Hebrew, the meaning here for the word cry in this Psalms, where it's every word that says cry to you, Lord, that word actually means, hear my loud wailing, O Lord. It wasn't just a simple little cry. He was really crying out. He was really begging and wailing unto the Lord. And let me tell you, David was no crybaby. He was no sissy. He wasn't a mama's boy. David was a man of God. He wasn't perfect, obviously, but he was a man who, when he was in situations that were totally out of his control, he really cut loose and he cried out to God with this loud wailing up to God. David wasn't shy. He wasn't reserved when it came to coming before the Lord. And I love this because when I go to the desert, this is exactly what I do. I go out there in the middle of the desert. There ain't nobody out there. And I go down this path. I'm out there in the desert. And I just start crying out and wailing to God. I just, Jesus, to the top of my lungs. I scream, Jesus. Nobody's hearing me. There ain't no one out there. And I love it. And it feels so good. And I just cry out to God. Because I know God will, I can get his attention. And this is what David did. Look what he says here in verse 1. Hear my cry, God. And when you look at this, remember, it's not just he's not just speaking. He's really begging God. Cry, hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. And from the ends of the earth, I will cry to you. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. So David, he cried out when he was in trouble in the way that he wanted everybody to know. But most importantly, he wanted God to know, even though God did know what he was going through. Verse 2, he says, to the ends of the earth, I will cry unto you. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So David, guys, he acknowledged that, you know what? His heart was completely overwhelmed by his circumstance, what he was going through with his son. Now, the word here, overwhelmed, it literally means to be covered over, to be so totally consumed by affliction or difficulty that you become faint or you become weak to the point to collapsing beneath a heavy load. Now, how many of you have felt like this? We have been in this position where you're so overwhelmed that you just feel like just flopping down and doing nothing. I've done that before. Well, I'm just so overwhelmed that I just sit down in my chair and just do nothing. It's nothing new. I think Jehoshaphat is a good example of this. When these armies came up against him and he was outnumbered 1-10. And he cried out to the Lord and he said, Lord, I have no power over this, nor do I know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. He was so overwhelmed that he just said, there's nothing more I can do about this. It's like, whatever happens, happens. We die, we die. If you save us, Lord, you save us. But our eyes are upon you. May your will be done. And so David was overwhelmed mentally. He was overwhelmed spiritually to the point of exhaustion. He could no longer hold up under that pressure and those burdens that he was going through. So he prayed for the Lord to lead him to the what? The rock. To deliver him from his discouragement, his desperate times. And the Lord became David's rock. He became his strength, his comfort in the time of trouble. We can't forget that. That we need to go to the rock. Not rock church. Rock is Jesus, okay? Don't go, Pastor Steve said, go to the rock, so that's why we're here. No, you go to the, who's the rock? The rock is Christ. He's the rock. Look at verse 3. He says, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from my enemy. They say that, you know, this portion of Scripture, verse 3, it's actually a picture of God being David's shelter and strong tower. It's one of God being like this high cliff or this stony crevice in the face of a great mountain where David was able to be on or go in, knowing that, you know what, God is going to protect him. I love that, going to the mountaintop where you can meet God. You know, or going into the cleft of the rock there where God's glory can pass by and you can see him like Moses. But it's where David could go in and where God can always be a shelter, a refuge for him. A strong tower where he had been protected from his enemies. And because of his example of this, his son Solomon was able to write Proverbs 18 verse 10 where it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to him and are safe. Where do you go to be safe? You know, where do you go? Where's your mountaintop with the Lord? Where's the stony crevice where you go in and God's glory can pass by you and you can see the back, his back? You know, you can meet him right there knowing that he's going to protect you. You got to have that area where it's just you and God, where you go off to meet God. Mine is the desert. And it's just me and God, and I can cry out and I can scream and knowing that he's gonna hear me. And so like David, you know, we can pray and we can run to God and for him to lead us and guide us in our despair that we go through. And he's going to lead us to him who is our rock. Just like David, we just need to believe that we'll find the strength that we need so desperately in times that we're going through heaviness. And we need that fellowship with God. And it's going to be through God's power where he's going to enable us to handle every pressure or circumstance of life that we go through. There ain't nothing God can't do. He's all sovereign for sure, but omnipotent. That means he's all powerful. There ain't nothing too big God can't do and nothing too small that he won't. We can come to him through anything. He's our power. And whatever pressure or circumstances of life we go through, isn't that what he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? That's what he says, Paul, verse 9. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's much needed. That's for us. We live that. Through our weaknesses, God said he's going to be made strong on our behalf. So David, he actually teaches us in here in Psalms 90, 61, not to look to yourself, guys. Not to our own strength, but look to the rock that is what? Higher than I. Hello? The rock ain't lower. Don't go to the valley. He says, go to the rock which is higher than I. Because God can do more than what you can ever imagine and think. You may take it yourself. But when you get to that point where he says, Lord, I can't take it no more. God says, I am going to take you the rest of the way. And he does. Look at verse 4. David says, and I will abide in your tabernacle forever. And I will trust in the shelter of your wing. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. And between 4 and 5, there's that word, Selah. It's like, okay, that means pause, stop, and think about what it said. So let's take a moment. Look at verse 4. Take a moment, pause, and look at it. Okay, that's enough. He says, you know, think about it. You know, he's going to abide in the tabernacle forever. And he's going to trust in the shelter of your wings. This is a very beautiful verse here. Because now David is expressing his passion and his desires for living and being in the presence of God. This is what we live for. We live to be in the presence of God. I don't know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. I don't know anything else. I've been doing this since the 80s, being in the ministry. I don't know anything else. God forbid, if something happens, I got to leave and do something else. I don't know what I would do. I have no skills. You know, I don't know. I just got some nunchuck skills. Yeah, exactly. You know, and but again, this is David expressing his desire and his passion for living and being in the presence of God. Look what he says in verse 4. In the first half, he says, "I will abide in your tabernacle forever." And because of this, David also wrote Psalms 26, verse 8. He says, "Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house, the place where your glory dwells." I love this because, man, I'm at home here. This is my home. That's home away from home. When I come here, I just feel like I'm under God's protection. I come here, and this is a place of worship. He says in Psalms, and you know this one. This is also another beautiful psalm, Psalms 27, 4. Listen to what David said. He says, "One thing I have desire of the Lord, that I will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." That's why we come to church. That's why we come to fellowship, so we can behold the beauty of the Lord all the days of my life, David said, and to inquire the Lord in his temple. I know we can inquire the Lord wherever we are, but here it's just something special about this place. Something special when you go to a home where you're reading the Bible. It's just amazing. Now, the word tabernacle here in verse 4, it refers to what? That sacred tent of worship in Jerusalem that they had. That's where God dwelled among the people, and he dwelled there in a very special way. And David was confident in that not only would God would bring him back to Jerusalem because, you know, he had to leave Jerusalem because of his son, but he was confident knowing that, you know what, God's going to bring me back, but also that he would spend eternity with the Lord forever. See, our home, this ain't our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. But we want to dwell in the house of the Lord in his tabernacle, but also in the fact that heaven is our home. Amen. Psalms, and he wrote this in Psalms 23, verse 6. This is what he said about the tabernacle. He said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Isn't that awesome? I love that verse. It's so encouraging. Hey, God's goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life, but I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And it's because the Lord will shelter us under what? His wings. Look at the bottom of verse 4. David says, "I will trust in the shelter of your wings." And guys, that's where we need to be. That's where we need to be, under God's wing. Being under God's wing is the most beautiful and the most intimate place to be. It's where you're going to find safety. That's where you're going to go and be in God's word. Now listen to these verses that David said. Psalm 17, 8. He said, "Keep me as the apple of your eye." How many of you want to be the apple of God's eye? He says, "Hide me under the shadow of your wing, Lord." Psalms 36, 7, he says, "How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings." Psalms 57, 1, David says, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have past. Psalms 91:4, David says, "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." And then in Matthew 23:37, what did Jesus tell Jerusalem when he was looking over Jerusalem? He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who send her, who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, but you weren't willing." Have you ever seen a mother bird gather her young chicks under her breast and then cover her with her wings? Anybody ever seen that? You know, there's on the news one time when I can't remember how many years back we had one of those big giant fires where a lot of homes were lost. They actually found this bird dead in the fire. But when they were removing the bird, they realized it was moving. When they lift the bird up, the chicks were underneath the bird. They lived. This really happened. They were under her protection, under the cover of her wing. Man, that's a special place of intimacy, a place of safety for them as well as us. God desires that we remain close to Him as well. There in His bosom, in His righteous right hand, where we can feel safety and from all this ungodliness and this spiritual battles and the harm that the world tries to take us down with. He says, David says, I am going to stay in the shelter of your wings, Lord. Look at verse 5. In the beginning of verse 5, he says, for you, God, have heard my vows. David says that the Lord hears the promises that he makes him. You know, David made all these promises, you know, and David says that the Lord hears them. As David poured out his heart here to the Lord in prayer, there was this assurance of his prayers that they were being heard. It was confirmed in his spirit. And I think that's important when you pray, that you get this confirmation in your heart that you don't become a double-minded person, but that you really believe God hears me. You really believe God's going to answer my prayers. So, in fact, Paul said this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. He says, don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. That's important when it comes to prayer, is that you have the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Know that God hears your vows. The commitments that, you know, David made in his prayer was one for deliverance. And David had this total peace that God would see him through his crisis and return him back to Jerusalem, where he was able to fulfill the promises that he made to the Lord. And this is awesome. When we pray, you got to have that total peace of God, knowing that God hears my prayer. Otherwise, you become a double-minded person. It's like Paul says, you know, you pray and you say, Lord, hear my prayer. And then your prayer is rising up like incense unto the Lord. And then you say, you know, it ain't going to happen, or he ain't going to hear it. Or with doubt, your prayer comes back down to the ground. Be committed. Have this peace that God hears your prayers. David said in Psalms, he wrote in Psalms 50, 14, he says, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. That's God's promise. God also promised that David, that he would give him this inheritance to all those who fear him. Look at verse 5 at the bottom. He says, for you, O God, had heard my vows, but you have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. And the reason why is why? Because David was obedient in keeping his commitment to the Lord. I love that verse that Samuel, when he came to the first king of Israel, Saul. And Saul thought, you know, he disobeyed the Lord, because the Lord told him, I want you to go and wipe out these people because they were pretty bad. Kill everyone, men, women, and children. Kill all the livestock. Don't take any of the unclean things. Just go in, do the job, and leave. Well, Saul decided to take the very best, and he kept it. And the whole reason why he kept it, he says, hey, this is good. Why don't we keep it, and let's just give it, offer it up to the Lord as sacrifice. And so that's when Samuel, the prophet, came to Saul, the king, and said, hey, you know what? Has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. God desires obedience. And because David kept his vows to the Lord, he received the heritage, or the inheritance, that was promised to those who fear God's name. And that was the land of Canaan, the promised land of God for God's people. He went ahead and wrote that in Psalms 135, verse 11. He says that the Ammonites and those nations around there and their king in the kingdoms of Canaan, he said that that the Lord says, I gave you their land as an inheritance. An heritage to Israel, the people. And then he wrote it in Psalms 136, 21. He said the same thing. He said, God gave us their land as an inheritance, for his mercy endures forever. An heritage to Israel, his servants, for his mercy endures forever. That was the promised land, Canaan, that was for God's people. But Canaan was just a picture of heaven, the land, the eternal home that God has for all of us. We got a promise the promised land is heaven for all of us, right? And Peter said that in 1 Peter chapter 1. Listen to what he says, verse 3 through 5. He said, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to in an inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. And it's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about heaven. Our names are written in God's book. And it's reserved. Heaven is reserved for you. And all you he says, all you have to do is accept it by faith. And David says, you know what? I'm going to live in the house of the Lord. Look what he says in verse 6. He says, and you will prolong the king's life, his years, as many generations, and he shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So David, you know, he prayed that the Lord would prolong his life. You know, I'm the opposite. Lord, I don't want to live long. I was watching the news, and they were interviewing a lady. She was 112 or something like that. And so the newscaster, the woman, was asking a question. So, wow, what do you like to do? She said, I like to sleep. And she goes, she likes to sleep. And so she goes, okay, what do you think about this? And she's like, wants to sleep. She's trying to tell, I want to sleep. But she kept asking her question. You could Google it and see it. She kept asking her question. And she's like, you know, I love to sleep. And they were laughing, but it's just, I don't want to live that long, guys. No way. I'm ready to give up the ghost now, you know. I want that new body. We're talking about the new body. I want that new, remember, I asked to be 6 foot, right? With the neck. Now, the funny thing about that, you know, sometimes God says, you know, we got to pray, we got to be specific. So I'm specific about what I want, right? But what's going to be funny when we get there is that God's going to give everybody new bodies that are going to be 25 feet high. And I'm going to go up. God says, well, you asked to be 6 foot. I was going to bless you 25 feet. But so all you guys are going to be 25 feet high. And I'm just going to be 6 foot. It ain't going to change. I'll just have a neck. You know. But again, you know, David, he prayed, Lord, prolong my life. And may his testimony, may my witness, it go on for generations to come. Because it says that in verse 6. And the Lord did. He had promised David a personal heritage, a throne that it was going to endure forever, because he mentions that in 2 Samuel chapter 17, where Nathan the prophet came. He spoke to David and said, hey, David, your house and your kingdom will be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever according to all these words and according to all this vision. So God completed that. Why? Because of his obedience. So in faith, David prayed that God would prolong his life and his testimony for generations to come. And he believed that God would deliver him again, once again, and restore him back into Jerusalem, especially after his son rebelled and making himself king in Jerusalem. David, by faith, believed in God's word. And I think that's important. We got to believe in God's word. Amen. Not only that God's word that's going to come to pass, but David believed God's going to restore me back in Jerusalem. But that's going to be, and it's going to be for generations to come, because God said he would. And not only that, but through his royal line came who? Jesus. And it was Jesus who sat on David's throne throughout eternity. So God was faithful. In fact, Jesus said that, but the angels came to Mary in Luke chapter 1, which we're going to be looking at. He says, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall be called Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Amen. Isn't that awesome? This is all going to fade. This is all going to end. Yeah. Your life will end one day, but then it will carry on for eternity. Because Jesus, his kingdom will never end. And so this caused David to look at verse 8. The last verse, David said, so I will sing praises to your name forever, Lord, that I may daily perform my vows. I think David's faith, you know, his confidence in God, it was just unmovable. How's your faith? Is it unmovable? Is it shakable? Is it determined on your circumstances or your situations in life? Do you determine on the world and what you do in the world or other people in the world? David had this faith and this confidence that he was unmovable for the Lord. And he would live to praise the Lord's name for many years to come. And then throughout eternity, through his testimony, through his witness, he wanted to know nothing but God's name. Just like Paul, I don't want to know nothing but God, but Jesus Christ and him crucified. I don't want to know nothing but my relationship with Christ. And I'll never forget that day that my brother took me in. Remember Tower Records? I know some of you don't remember this. This is when cassette tapes and 8-tracks. Remember 8-tracks? And he took me into Tower Records, and I went in there because I'll go in there. And we went in, and he was getting some music, and I looked around, and man, I'll tell you what, I off the top spotted so much demonic stuff in there that was just so blatant. The album covers, the covers on the cassettes and 8-tracks, and how they were demonic. And all of a sudden, this oppression came upon me, and I just couldn't shake. And I was like, I got to get out. I told him, bro, I got to leave, bro. I'm going to go outside, man. I'll wait for you outside. And the minute I stepped out of that store and I came out, this oppression just was released. I just felt it going off my shoulders. And I lifted my hands and I said, Lord, thank you that you are all that I know. Is he all that you know? Or is he just... yeah, I know him. Or can you honestly say, I know him. I know him. I know him. You know, there's a difference. And David, he loved the Lord. His passion was to worship God, and he didn't want to know nothing but God himself. His life represented everything that he was. It made him who he was. The Lord made him who he was, including, guys, his unfailing love and faithfulness. Doesn't mean he was perfect. And look what God did through him. If you're feeling this morning that you are perfect, watch out. Watch out, because you'll find real fast that you aren't. Right? Guys, God's grace was an anchor for David. And his commitment and obedience, man, he just looked forward to returning back home to Jerusalem to show his gratitude to God and by fulfilling the vows. He couldn't wait to get back to Jerusalem to thank God, to worship him, and to say, I want to fulfill what I promised to the Lord. And for the rest of his life, he would worship and serve the Lord. And I want to leave you with Numbers 30, chapter 30, verse 2. Listen to what it says. It says, if a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word, and he shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. Are you, your commitment to Christ, are you fulfilling that commitment? I'll tell you what, I thank God for his grace. I really do. Because there's so many times that I don't keep my word to the Lord, and I blow it. But Paul says his grace is sufficient. And God makes me who I am today. So, Lord, hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I will cry out to you. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen.